Star Wars geek girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Star Wars Geek Girl. As usual, I'm Zoe, and I'm here with the amazing Christina Ariel. You may know from the High Republic show and from lots of things. She's been in Critical Role, D20, a lot of the amazing things in the geek world.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me, Zoe.
Yeah, I'm super excited. So I guess my first question I would like to ask is, what would you say is your Star Wars story? Like, how you got into Star Wars and what you love about it?
My first ever memory of Star Wars is watching the Ewoks cartoon as a kid. Like, that was my, like, I loved that show so much. It also tells you how old I am because I watched it live on TV. So I loved the Ewoks. I would watch Star Wars with my dad, with my grandpa Jack, and the first time I saw Star Wars in theaters was Episode II, Attack of the Clones, and I was so excited just seeing the crawl, everything, and Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen of it all. I was just in forever, and I remember when I moved to LA, I had gone for a walk with my husband and my oldest son, and they were setting up for Rogue One. And they were like doing all the decorations, and I saw the ships, and I was like, oh, I want to be on the other side one day, not just walking by. So then a couple years later, I went for Ilhoffer. They invited me to the Solo premiere. And so I went as Lando Calrissian. And it was so cool because a couple days before that, I was at a park and I met Donald Glover. And I was like, hi. And I was like, I have a Lando cosplay. And he's like, I hope I get to see it one day. And so then we get to the red carpet and he looks over and he's like, hey. And he remembered me and he like was like, you do have a Lando. And we got to like stand there and chat and catch up for a minute. And it was one of those moments where you're like, wow, like, this is cool. Keep going. And so, which is also great because I met my best friend that night. My best friend, Jamie King, who played Aura Sing in The Clone Wars. We met for the first time that night, and I was like, oh my gosh, you have such a beautiful light. We would be best friends. And I was like, okay. And we like hit it off. And then a couple weeks later, I was at a Dungeons and Dragons event and she was there. And I was like, look, we are supposed to be friends. And that was another sign. Cause look, Star Wars brought me my best friend and the godmother of my children. So that was cool. And then a couple years later in 2020, I got asked if I wanted to host the High Republic show. And since then, I've done that and hosted Star Wars Celebration in London and Anaheim. And it's just been a really beautiful journey and practice. And just sometimes your life sends you signs that things are good. And we're always on this road to get somewhere. And I think we forget like some of these big moments, like the big moments are the journey. Like so much of that, it doesn't matter where it ends, you have this beautiful story to tell from these things that happened, and it's life is just that collection of these beautiful moments.
That's really amazing. Yeah, I think it's something so special about Star Wars is that, you know, it can start from a cartoon or a movie and then it can change your life and lead you on this totally different path where you meet all these amazing people.
Yeah. Hello, what was your Star Wars story?
I just kind of like, my dad always tells a story. I don't remember it, but when he came home from the hospital and I was a tiny little baby, he would just put on Star Wars. We just watched Star Wars like from the moment before I even could know what Star Wars was. And then it just kind of, my first Star Wars movie in theaters was the Clone Wars animated movie. And that was my like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I loved Ahsoka. I totally fell in love with Clone Wars and stuff. And then from then on it went, you know, Rebels started. And I would just always be talking about Star Wars all the time. Just like, you know, I was like 13, 14. My dad was like, you should start a podcast because he'd been listening to Star Wars podcasts. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. And then that led to me meeting my best friend who I host the podcast with and getting into Sabine and Ahsoka cosplay. And really, you know, I started trooping. He put me and my sister into Jawa costumes when I was 6 and she was 4. So we started trooping at a very young age too. And just, you know, now I studied film and I'm planning for a move to LA to hopefully work, you know, get into Star Wars as well. So
that's awesome. Oh, well, I also like just caught on to your Sabine cut, and I'm like, yes, it's given
Yeah.
Natasha.
Yes. I actually started doing, and I switch up the colors a lot too, but I started doing the short purple when the epilogue of Rebels came out, because I was like, oh, Sabine looks awesome. And then came out and Ahsoka did the same thing with the same look. So I was like, oh, perfect.
Can we talk about the amazing, like, frame for frame Rebels recreation and
Oh
how
my
cool that
gosh.
was? I almost lost my mind. Like, I was so emotional.
Yeah, and then all the like people like putting them together, like cutting between the two, like on Twitter and stuff and TikTok. I was like, oh my gosh. It was,
So,
yeah.
like, if you can tell it was made with love, like, it really speaks to that.
Yeah, it was Ahsoka was very good for as me as a Rebels fan. I was like, yes, like I mean you can see I like my painted my walls to look like Sabine art and all that stuff. So I'm like very all in on Sabine. So I was very, very excited to see where it goes in the future too.
I'm one of those people who's always looking at the background and looking at like people's bookshelves. So I've been like studying the back of your room. I was like, loth cat. But which I should have bought the other day when I was at the store. There was a cute little loth cat. I was like, look at your little eggs.
I have too many Lothcats. I see anything Lothcat. It's especially because like with Rebels didn't get a ton of like merchandise. Like there's like the action figures outside of that, not a ton of merch. So then Ahsoka comes out because I was used to like scavenging for anything Rebels, and then Ahsoka comes out and just everywhere. I'm like, okay, I don't have enough money to buy all the Rebels stuff anymore. Like it used to be like there was a couple things and I could get them all. Now there's too much, so I have to like limit myself. But Lothcats are a weakness for sure.
Understandable. Mine is lightsabers. I just ordered the Young Jedi lightsabers from Q&A.
Oh,
So I got like all three of the Young
I saw
Jedi.
those. Yeah.
They're so cute. I
They
just
are.
want them. And I'm gonna have to keep, I'm like, do I give them to my kids and keep one for myself? Or do I keep all of them and put them on a very high shelf? It's a conundrum.
That's, yeah. I think, yeah, that to me, it sounds like you need to get another set.
You make very valid points, Zoe. You know what? You are speaking for my Zoe right now because I know she would want her own lightsaber. She's the first time she ever saw her grab a lightsaber. There was a green lightsaber and a red lightsaber, and she grabbed the red lightsaber and she put it in her face and she laughed. And I was like, "Oh, okay. I see what's going on here." It's like you chose
It's
your path. I'm gonna support it. We don't need anybody force choking anybody because they don't support their choices. It's
yeah, Sith Lord in the making. So as host of the High Republic show, obviously you're into the High Republic. You're just talking about the Young Jedi adventures. But outside of the High Republic, what Star Wars stories do you feel like resonate with you?
I think, well, I love episode two, as I've said, that just is extremely powerful for me. But I also love my favorite Star Wars story, period, is Dooku Jedi Lost by Kevin Scott. It's one of my favorite stories. I love seeing the story of him. I love hearing Ventress's inner monologue. And I love that you see, like, they talk about the lost Jedi and one of those lost Jedi who has a bust in the archives is Keeve Trennis, Jedi Master Keeve Trennis, who in phase three. And some of the art, if you look by Ario and Anandito, like they've made my face the default face for Keeve Trennis for phase three, which means that Keeve Trennis was in the library in Dooku Jedi Lost, but Keeve Trennis was also a bus in episode two, which means that I've technically been retconned into Attack of the Clones.
Wow. That's like top level like Star Wars street cred. It's amazing.
It's one of those things where it's like you got to prove it, but I'm like, I have pictures. I have pictures. This is technically this is
Just
how
have like
this works.
the album on your phone like ready to go like anytime.
I have like two separate Star Wars albums that are like different se like celebration moments and like one that's just like Star Wars cosplay and other.
Well, that's really amazing. So yeah, we'll bring it back to the High Republic. What do you feel like, besides obviously being the host of the High Republic show, what do you feel like draws you to the High Republic in these stories?
The thing I like about the High Republic, number one above all, is the community that I've met through the High Republic. I've met such amazing people who see themselves in the characters, who are able to put themselves in a story in a way that maybe might have felt too large in the grand scheme of things in the original series, the prequels or the sequels. But here in this place, hundreds of years before those take place, we have these people finding themselves, and the Jedi, like, there are just such a diverse swath of characters, and there's something for everyone, and I truly love that. Like, I always think of my dad was like skier. My dad was this ex-military, 6'5" dude, and like skier reminds me of my dad. Like, and that relationship between him and Keeve, and just the stories, I think, are so, there's so much heart in them because the people that are writing them, like, you have Claudia Gray, you have Kevin Scott, you have Justine Ireland, you have Daniel Jose Older, you have Charles Soule, all these people who've written Star Wars stories for years. And they've converged and been brought together. Like, they're basically literary Avengers brought together by Michael Sabelain to create an entire new galaxy of Star Wars. And they've knocked it out of the park. There's so much room to play with and to just tell these stories. And I love it so much. I just think it's such a beautiful thing. And I don't know, like, all of it resonates with me. It's beautiful. And I remember when I first got the High Republic show, I would say, like, the thing about all of this is we're all getting this new knowledge at the same time. Like, in this moment, we are fresh readers of the High Republic. It's like no one knows any more than anyone except the authors. So we're on this ride together. Like, the High Republic show has never been about telling you what's up. It's about being on the ride together. Like, we all are just on this ride telling the story. And it's been such a magical part of my life for the last 3 years and has brought so many incredible people and opportunities and like meet your heroes moments. So I'm always grateful to the High Republic for that.
Yeah, I think for me that's the higher hope being, still feeling so Star Wars and then also being so different, especially sometimes, even as we're getting all these amazing shows, there is a little bit of a like, well, we know what's coming because of this movie, right? And it's like guideline for High Republic is pretty much free from all that. We know what happens 100 years down the line, but right now anything can happen.
You
And
just can't
that's
kill Yoda. Like,
yeah,
that's
we
like your only
can't.
rule. It's like, oh, yeah, Yoda can play in this playground, but he has to survive against all odds.
Yeah. And that, yeah,
Unless
I think
he's been
it's
a
such
ghost
a
this entire time.
wow. Maybe there's like a clone of Yoda or something. It's like
Yoda's the original clone. We figured we just cracked the code. Yoda is the original clone. There is a Yoda somewhere that they use as a prototype, and telling you, it could happen.
yeah, anything could happen. That's what I think is so cool. I'm a little bit behind on High Republic, unfortunately, because of work, but I'm reading Convergence right now. I'm like catching up on phase two in anticipation for phase three, and I'm super excited.
It's a lot of books in 3 years, respectfully.
Yes.
It's a,
Well,
even I get behind myself. Like, I just got the new, like, issue four of the comic, and I haven't even taken a few seconds to just, I haven't had time to sit down and read it, but I want to so bad.
yeah, I got really busy with work for a while, and I was like, okay, I'll catch up like after this busy season. And then I was like, oh my gosh, there's like 600 books now I have to read. Like, what happened? But I'm very excited. It's a good problem to have.
Is. I love the middle grade novels. I feel as if they, even though people may ignore them because they think of them as kids' books or something like that, there's a lot of rich storytelling within those books, and just there's a lot of emotional depth. Like, you get Justine Ireland puts a lot of depth into everything she does, but in those books, the way that she kind of shows all these multiple ways that they're all grieving and processing their own situations is, I think it's really beautiful.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, I mean, Vernestra is my favorite High Republic character. She's introduced in one of those middle grade novels, and now she's gonna be in the Acolyte. So,
She's going to be in the Acolyte, set 100 years before the
yeah.
Skywalker saga.
Yeah, she's gonna be old, but still
Yeah.
Vernestra.
Oh, but I'm so excited about Rebecca Henderson playing Vern and seeing Vern in live action as like the kind of like the first, like, yeah, like we have the animated series, of course, but like just seeing Vern, like, I got, oh my gosh, I fangirled so hard. We did a High Republic panel with all of the authors, and then Leslie Headland and Rebecca Henderson came out at Celebration.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you look at my face in all the pictures, I look like the happiest 4-year-old in the world who just got like a lollipop. Like,
Yeah,
just.
that panel, I'm like dying. That panel was my like, I guess my white whale at Celebration, because I made it to pretty much every panel I wanted to go to, except the High Republic panel was at the exact same time slot as my spot on the podcast stage at Celebration. So I was like, no, High
Oh,
Republic.
man.
So then I had to catch up after on everything that happened. But
Was, well, the.
I did it with Matt Martin, so it was okay.
Oh, my God. Did he show you the trailer?
He didn't. But I saw the trailer at the studio showcase. So I saw the Acolyte trailer. I just missed the High Republic and the Vern reveal.
It's all good. Oh, I'm sad. I would have loved to have met you then. But now, like, next time I see you at a celebration thing, we'll know each other and be old friends.
Yeah. Next celebration. I don't know if I'll be at Japan, but whatever one after that for sure.
Oh, I can't wait. I love this. Like, I'm so excited that I get to be here and talk to you and have this conversation. And thanks. Shout out to your dad
Yeah.
DMing me because you made it all possible. And I'm excited to see what you're doing and that you've been doing this for so long and putting so much of yourself and your heart into it. And I know it's not always the easiest thing, but the fact that you're like doing it anyway is really cool. And I'm excited that we get to have this conversation today.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I think it's something, and ever since like when I was a, I was a kid, I think I started trooping when I was six, and like that, like I met, a lot of very, close friends, a lot of, mostly my dad's friends because they were all older, but like people who would look out for me and people I could go to for support, like through Star Wars. Like most of my network is through Star Wars. I did a semester at LA, and so I went to school in Philly in T at Temple. But we did like a bunch of us did a semester in LA, and I went to LA and saw a lot of my peers knew no one in LA besides a group of us, and I was like, I know so many people, and every single person I knew was because of Star Wars, like and even people I didn't know before, like I reached out, like I saw the Mandalorian Mercs were having an armor party the weekend I moved in. I was like, hey, can I don't have armor to work on, but can I just like go meet you guys? And they're like, yeah. And then they were like, hey, like we have an extra ticket to the Andor premiere in 2 weeks. Do you want to go? I was like, yeah. Like what? And it was just like it was. I was a very like sobering moment when I was kind of sitting there. I just realized like I like all of these experiences and all these amazing people I know are because of Star Wars. Because some guy made a movie in 1977, so it's
And now
like,
you have a whole community.
yeah. So it's something very special I think about Star Wars that so many people have such a similar story.
Yeah, I dig it. What else you got for me, my love?
Well, we're talking about you're hosting the High Republic show, and as that host, I feel like you're an important kind of voice and bridge between the fandom and creators, because like you said, you're on the ride with us, but you're, a lot of times the show is a conduit for the voices of the creators coming to us. So how do you kind of balance the excitements and any pressures you feel in that role?
I think the thing is that I love it so much. And it feels like some people would be like, oh, it's just like some little YouTube show. And it's like, no, it's first of all, it's a web series. And there's just something about the High Republic came into my life at a time where I really needed it, where I needed an outlet. It's we started shooting the show during COVID in my garage. I was in this really like not great place. I don't know, like it was a beam of hope that I needed in that moment, and it turned out to be something really great. And it was a interesting kind of start to all of it, but I just love it, and I love the people, and I don't know. Like, I think about when like Michael Ciglain called me the heart of the High Republic, and that kind of stuff is important. Like, it seems like nothing to a lot of people, but to me, that's so important because I always try to lead with my heart, and I always try to see people and make sure that people feel seen. And so to have this way to bring joy to people and kind of like be a part of their ride in something that's been so important to all of our lives is really special and magical to me.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I think especially with it starting during COVID, was something that so many people, needed, these stories that could inspire them, and and having, someone, a friendly voice to kind of talk to them about it, through a web series was very special, I think, for so many people.
Thank you. It was it's been an interesting ride, and like no matter what, I'm always gonna just be grateful for it.
Yeah. Do you have any particular favorite like moments or specific experiences from hosting the show?
They let me fall a lot, and I really appreciate that. Like they let me like throw books fall on the ground. They let me sing on an episode. Like they like made me a Christmas ornament. I got to have a starlight beacon, like giant scale sculpture in my garage for like a year. Like these are moments that you just don't even like think about. Like I have this thing right here, this shelf that is, it's like a Star Wars shelf. It's built to look like it's in Star Wars. So part of my garage, you're like, oh, nice. Like I'm on a planet. It's wild. But I think even like kind of offshoot wise, we did one of the things that I got to do was actually no, you have a question about that, so I'm not going to say that, but I will save
Oh.
that for that moment. But no, I love it.
Okay.
It's great. It makes me very happy, and I love just the depth it's brought to my life.
That's some amazing answer. So my next question is that the High Republic has been a groundbreaking storytelling project for Star Wars, both in exploring new areas and periods of the galaxy and in terms of diversity. How does it feel to be representative for these projects? Or as you said, you've been called the heart of the High Republic.
It means a lot to me. It's been I don't know. I've gotten to grow with the community and in the stories, and we all at this point, like I've met so many of the people now in person and have become friends, and like that's worth it. That's worth all of it. It's just the like, oh, it's overwhelming. I don't really know how to truly. I'm a big feelings person, if you couldn't tell by the espousing, but I just it's been I feel like I'm not answering the proper question.
Oh no, you're doing great.
No, it means a lot because I know for a fact that there are a lot of young women and young women that look like me or young people that look like me that wanted to feel seen, and there haven't been a lot of women that look like me forward facing in this space. And to do an initiative like this, where you do have an extremely diverse swath of characters, and to get to speak for that in a way, and I always say, like, I'm a tiny part of the machine, I don't do much, I just talk and love. So, but I guess the fact that I resonate with people means a lot to me. And I think that people could have easily dismissed it, and some people did, but there are people who gave me a chance, and I think that I hope they haven't regretted that chance, and I hope that they have felt seen and that I created a space that was welcoming.
Yeah.
That's all I care about is I want, like, we are all, no matter what any negative voice can say, like, we're all in this community because we love something so immensely that we spend our money on it. We devote our time to it. We learn about it. We go in, like, brains are basically default Star Wars lore. Like, that takes a lot to commit your time and yourself and your energy to that. So, no one can quantify or qualify what type of a fan you are or if you're enough. And I feel like in this space, everyone is allowed to just be enough. And I think that that's important. It's not, you should be able to see yourself. It should be okay for you to be present. It is okay for you to show up and take up space and be in the moment and to be a part of the story. You are telling a story too. Everyone is. Like we talk about main character, you are the main character in your story. It's your life. Like, stop shrinking yourself. Like, this is a space where these characters aren't shrinking themselves. They're being flawed. They're being loving. And people are seeing that. People are seeing themselves. I literally get to see myself as somebody in this phase. And that is so important because it is like, as a cosplayer, I know these things firsthand. It's like, I'm having to, like, I get to create, like, with my cosplays, I always say, I'm not cosplaying an actor. I'm myself as this character. I want to see myself as this character because I should be allowed to be this character. And I want to be Supergirl and I want to be Wonder Woman and I want to be all of those characters and I can be. And I think that that's one of the freedoms that the High Republic has given to a lot of people is that it is a very you can take up space initiative. And I'm really proud to be a part of that.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Just and I think the High Republic is, has attracted such a wide group of people, that just within High Republic spaces you can meet people from totally different backgrounds. You have different lives from you to get to connect over the same story that you both love, and you connect with it for the same or different reasons. And I think that's what makes all of Star Wars and the High Republic especially so special.
Indeed. It's nice. And look, it brought me to this conversation today.
So I think this is a question you kind of were waiting for earlier. So you appeared in Obi-Wan Kenobi as Tika Creel, a member of the Hidden Path. If there was a comic or novel, and first of all, you can talk about your experience if you want to talk about that and how that felt. But also, my question was, if there's a comic or novel about your character, who would you pick to write it? What would Tika get up to, and who would she hang out with?
Okay. First of all, I would want Daniel Jose Older or Justine Ireland to write it because I think they would give her the personality that I think she kind of low key has. But it's also cool because in the Obi-Wan Kenobi comics, if you look in any scene where I was in the show from like episode 5, 4, 5, or 6, you can see those in the comics. And so you see like me like sitting next to Leia with my little fro, and I'm so excited about it because it's like, I got to do that for real. And I remember going on like the set that first day, and we're sitting there, and I'm going, and they sit me in this seat next to this guy in a green cloak, and we're just hitting it off. And he's like, gets up. So it turns out he's a stand-in. And then Ewan McGregor comes and sits down, like right next to me. And I'm like, And I'm internally screaming, but I'm like, hi, my name is Christina, and just I'm gonna be sitting next to you. So I thought I would say hello. And he's just kind of like, eh. So then they have the behind the scenes crew, because I did a behind the scenes kind of mini documentary for Obi-Wan Kenobi. And she walks over with the camera and he starts like fixing his robes and they go, Christina, how's your first day on set? And he's like, very confused. And I'm like, I'm sitting next to Ewan McGregor, pretending I'm not sitting next to Ewan McGregor. Like, and he starts laughing. And so my first getting to within my first day of meeting Ewan McGregor, make him laugh in that moment was completely worth it. And it was exciting. And I got to go and interview him and Doug Chang and talk to wardrobes and just talk to Moses Ingram, who was incredible and just has. You ever meet somebody that has just gravitas and elegance? Like, that is Moses Ingram. Like, that's why she brought so much strength and grace to Reva, because she just, that's who she is. Like, she commands a respect without saying a word because she just is graceful. And the experience was so cool. And we sit in background every day. And it was like, I don't know if you know, Michael Canavo, Rexing Around. He was
Yes.
there, and we just were like, we all were just in holding most days and eating snacks and talking about Star Wars and like getting to know each other. And like that part of the experience was so cool because we just like it was, we were basically at Star Wars summer camp, complete with models and like maybe an occasional, like, it's like, ah, look, and Deborah Chow is here and she's gonna be our director for this thing. And it was during like the summer of 20, I think what, 2021, and it was still one of the coolest things I've ever done in my entire life. And getting to have like a documented account of it on StarWars.com is really, really cool. And I love going back and looking at it. And also like the fact that they gave my character a name is so dope. And I was like, I'm officially a Glup Shitto. This is so cool. Like, I feel so like, I still feel like I am like nothing in the Star Wars universe. Like, I'm just a little tiny blip. Like, I'm not like a person at a convention, like signing a thing. I don't think anybody's ever gonna like care that I'm in a thing. But I know that like one day my grandkids are gonna show that, or my kids are gonna show it and be like, my mom was in Star Wars. And like, that's cool to me. It's like, I gave my kids a cool, like, moderately dope flex legacy.
And you know, for what it's worth, I think the Star Wars universe is made so great by the hundreds and thousands of tiny little blips, so don't discount yourself for
Look at you. I needed that. Thank you.
that. Yeah, it's awesome. And yeah, and you're in like the reference book, I think, for the Obi-Wan Kenobi, or the visual dictionary or
Yes.
something. Just
I'm
super
in
cool.
the table of contents, like where you go and look. I
Yeah.
definitely went to a store. I went to a Barnes and Noble and was like, excuse me, sir, can you take a picture of me? And I'm like, every time I see it, I go and I'm like, I want to see if it's real. Like, maybe it's not in the ones in bookstores. Maybe it's just in the one I ordered from Amazon. I'll go like double check it. I do that with the character encyclopedia too. Like the word, because it's just like, I can go to a Barnes and Noble and open a book and my name's in it. And that is extremely cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. You have to like double check every single one. Like, this one has it? Okay, this one has
But is my name on the back of it?
it.
Then that's like those are those little things where like I fully fangirl at the opportunities and the things. Like, it's just so, it's surreal. Like, the fact that any of this has happened, or that I've had the opportunity to do any of this. Like, I think about it, like in 2014, I was still in Columbus, Georgia, selling cars. Like, so much can happen, and we don't realize that's happening as it is until you look back and it's like 10 years later and you're like, whoa, like, this is all that's happened in that time. It was just, the story was being written, and now I can look back on it and be like, wow, I've accomplished a little bit of stuff in the last few years, and I'm proud of myself. And I think that it goes back to that, like, just being allowed to take up space and hoping that somebody sees that and decides that they can go take up space too. And then, I don't know, there's a whole generation of unstoppable people who aren't afraid, or who are afraid and are doing it anyway.
Yeah, that's amazing. So this is a Star Wars podcast, but I'm also a D&D and Critical Role nerd, so I want to pivot for one second because your fandom does spread beyond Star Wars. You've been involved in the world of tabletop role-playing games, and you've been on shows like Dimension 20 and Critical Role. So what about the tabletop role-playing game sphere appeals to you?
It's the story and the adventure. I get to go to my friend's house. It's a very loud noise. Sorry about that. I love Dungeons and Dragons. I love the storytelling aspect of Dungeons and Dragons. I love creating characters. I love creating character voices. I love having characters that I will never ever play, but I wanted to see what the build would look like. I love that I get to just act goofy. I get to write songs. I get to do all of these things. And it's just, I sit in one seat, but my mind goes everywhere. And then I bond with these friends. And it's like, we've literally slayed dragons together. Yes, it was Theater of the Mind dragons, but dragons nonetheless. And that's, oh my God. I loved it. Okay. I'm going to talk to you about my favorite character that I've ever played in the whole entire world. And anytime I get an opportunity to talk about her, I'm going to talk about her. And that is Barbarella Sarsaparilla Ganglin, or Bob from Dimension 20. And I just remember being on the phone with Brennan, him asking me if I wanted to do it, her voice popping into my head, and then sitting in the chair and singing her intro song, and like writing every song that Bob sang in Dimension 20. I wrote on the spot, because you can't pre-write songs for something like that, because it's like, you don't know what's going to happen. The story could go either way with the roll of a dice. And so being, it really challenged me creatively to be quick to write a song, to get a medley, to have all the stuff, and like to turn spells into songs, which essentially they really, like, they're the same thing. Like, it's poetry, all of it. And That's been really fun. But also because I get to talk like this and it's so exciting when you get to do it. And I always think about this quote that they'd say about Marilyn Monroe, and they'd say, "Oh, you want to watch me become her?" And that's how I feel about Bob.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I
Oh, what's your
think.
favorite Dimension 20 season?
See, I haven't watched Dimension 20. I like got into D&D like a couple years ago, and so I've started with Critical Role. So I haven't like I've like seen like bits of it, but I can't say definitively what my favorite season is. I'm still catching up on Critical Role.
Listen, I will. We're also catching up on Critical Role. I'm still catching up
Yes.
on, but oh, we did
But I
the.
loved you in Honey Heist.
Oh, I love Honey Heist. I had fun with the Persona 5 one, but I think Honey Heist always is gonna have like that special place in my heart because it was the first one. The Elden Ring was probably one of that's well, yeah. I think the Elden Ring just because we ended up talking about a horse stack and that was wild. And that don't it's one of those D&D moments that you can't get. But I will say this, if you do not have Dropout TV, you don't have to watch any of that stuff, but you should watch actually because I think you would really enjoy it. It's
Okay.
the tri it's a trivia show and it's just a bunch of nerds actuallying each other and
Oh,
it's
great.
very, very fun. There's so much content on Dropout TV and I think people sleep on it, but it's and they also have all the old like College Humor sketches too because it was formerly College Humor, so you can go back and watch. Like it's just like sketches. They have their own cartoons, like little animated bits that you can watch, and it's so. And they also have a really dope community as well. I love, 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 love the Dimension 20 community. I love my critters too. I love all y'all, but it's a. I get to exist, and I like to go and. I'm basically collecting like Wikipedia pages. Like fandom Wikipedia
Yeah.
pages, like Infinity Stones. No, it's like Critical Role, Dimension 20, Star Wars. It's like, do I have one for Star Trek yet? I mean, well, no, I did a Star Trek music video with the library bards, but I don't think that technically counts. I have to get to the actual thing.
You'll get there.
Listen, I'm telling you, I just need my Marvel one now. Hopefully, like an Orphan Black remake.
It's actually so funny. When I was a kid, which I was probably a little too young to be watching College Humor, I was like probably 11, but I would watch College Humor sketches. And then when they announced the casting for The Last Jedi, I recognized Kelly Marie Tran because she was in some of those College Humor sketches. I was like, wait, I know her. What?
Kelly is so funny. She's just immensely talented. And she's, but she is like the stuff she directs, she does improv. She's funny, she's clever, she's beautiful, she's a Disney princess.
Yeah. Oh, I
She's
love that movie.
I went
Very.
one day, it was me and her and Ahmed Best, and we went out and we had lunch and just being kind of it's a very unique energy to watch those two people and like the amount of just like hyper kindness and understanding and grace that was at that table. Like it's probably one of my like it's something that comes to mind a lot just because those two people didn't have to extend to me any kindness and they did and just I don't know and it's still powerful like they will be family forever. I love that.
Yeah, some amazing people that we're very lucky to have, to have graced their presence in Star Wars.
I know the sabered hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sort of bridging back to Star Wars and the previous question, have you ever tried any Star Wars tabletop role-playing games?
I've not done a Star Wars tabletop role-playing game, but I did just start playing with the last weekend I went to the Star Wars Unlimited like
Oh, I
tabletop
did see that.
playing.
Yeah.
And so I got to play it for the first time. Like we got to all like play it fresh and ended up like sitting at a table, like leaving the after party and going downstairs where everyone was down like playing and sitting at a card at a table like playing. And oh, it was great because my like led to a Leia deck and she was so good. She was so powerful. I loved it. I also played a Vader deck as my first one, which is really great because there's a Luke versus Vader like kind of starting setup that you can do that's really dope. And then they gave us all these cards. So I stayed in the lobby until about 3 o'clock in the morning, organizing my cards and putting them into sleeves instead of going to bed when I had a flight the next morning. I'm just in the lobby with like all of these Star Wars Unlimited influencers and card like content creators. Just like we're all just playing and organizing and geeking out over these cards and opening packs. And it, oh my gosh, it was so much fun. I loved it.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that one out because I used to play a bit of the, I forget, I think it was like Star Wars Destiny or something, but it was another card game. It was similar where you built decks with characters and abilities and did it. I used to run Rebels a lot, like Rebels Cruise.
You're so cool.
Thank you. You are so cool too.
There's another one
I'm
I
so
also have.
excited to
Have
be
you seen
here.
Shatterpoint?
I have seen it. I haven't played it, but oh gosh.
Don't worry, I didn't bail on the interview.
She runs away. Yeah, I haven't played it, but I at C Celebration London they had the big booth for Shatterpoint because I was wearing my Ahsoka costume for the first time. So any picture of Ahsoka anywhere, I was like, I want a picture with that Ahsoka with me as Ahsoka because everything has to be Ahsoka. And so they had a big picture of Ahsoka I got a picture with, but I haven't played that game yet. But I think it looks really cool.
I have a bust of Ahsoka over here, but then I have this one with
Oh,
her,
yeah,
which
that
I
was
only
in
had
like a
this.
giant version of that at Celebration, that picture.
I wanted that game because it has a Ventress figure, and that is
Yeah.
why I wanted it the most, because I think the Asajj Ventress is exceptionally dope.
She's amazing, and we're getting her back starting in a couple weeks.
Oh my gosh. It's, oh, I just like, who has the swagger to pull off Ventress? Like to drag a lightsaber and draw a literal line in the sand? Like, who, what actress has that?
Oh gosh.
Oh, that'd be so, oh, that's interesting. And can rock a bald head.
Well, she does have some hair now in the Bad Batch and in Dark Disciple. She's got the little blonde cut.
Ooh, so who rocks a mean pixie? That's a good question too.
Yeah.
Ugh. I wish they could like like, oh, you know who'd be great at that? Natalie Portman.
Someone's like, you look a lot like this other character. And she's like, what? No, I don't know what you're talking about.
It wouldn't be the first time. I mean, look, it says oh, his name just completely escaped me at the moment. I can see his face clear as day, but I
And
can't.
Andy Serkis. He was Snoke and
Well,
Kino Loy, but he's one that did too.
Andy Serkis, but also Warwick.
Oh, yeah.
I think he holds the record for most Star Wars characters and creatures played.
Well, in live action, I think Dee Bradley Baker beats everybody.
Oh, yeah, Dee Bradley Baker is just. You mean nubs? Dee Bradley Baker is actually just a truly jolly man. It's like you can tell he's just having fun, making silly voices. I wonder what it was like for him, like for his kids, like having stories read to them.
Oh, I'm sure it was amazing because it's every character to voice. Oh, if you ever really want to like dive into a hole for like 3 hours, just go through like Dee Bradley Baker's IMDb and just scroll and see how many characters you recognize. It'll
Oh,
like, it's crazy.
you just gave me something to do because I'm gonna do that as soon as we get done. Look
Oh my
now,
goodness.
kids. Mommy's looking at his IMDb.
You can do that. A lot of voice actors. I think I did that with Steve Bloom the one time. I just went through and I was like, how, what do you like? How do you have time to do all of this? Like, there's so many.
His wife, Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, like
Yes,
her
she's done a
too, like,
lot.
and
Any,
she's.
pretty much any voice actor who's been doing it for like at least a couple years, it's like crazy how many people, how many voices they do.
And it's wild, like how we just associate them. Like I hear Cree Summer, and I'm like, oh man, like she's just oh she played a dragon in Vox Machina, and just like she's, I mean she was what Penny in Inspector Gadget, she was Susie on Rugrats, just like it's iconic. She's in Star Wars too. She's done some a lot of Star Wars voices. I think video games too. Anywho's it, I will go, we will go down an IMDb rabbit
Oh
hole.
yes.
Yes.
So, bringing back to High Republic, for my last few questions, do you have any particular favorite moments from the first two phases of the High Republic?
Yes. For me, there's a moment where Lula Talasola wakes up in the morning, and it is very clearly, I think it was Lula. She wakes up and she takes off her headscarf. And it seems like a very little thing, but in a representation lens, it's such a part of the Black culture to wrap your hair before you go to sleep, to make sure your edges stay fresh. Like you always wrap your hair, you wear a silk bonnet or a scarf. And it's such a, and they did this in Willow as well, but like having someone wear a protective layer feels like a level of care to me that was taken with the character. And that was really, that is a moment that really stayed with me. Because that just shows, I don't know, that was a true moment of feeling seen. Like it wasn't a being seen and like, oh, this character looks like me. It was being seen and like, oh, this character looks like me and is representing my like a cultural thing that is very significant. And I thought that was really, it really stays with me.
That's amazing. It is, sometimes the small moments that make you feel seen are what resonate more than, the big moments. I know, for me, it's I always think about when one of the handmaidens when they get their periods in the Queen's shadow books. And I was like, I feel that girl, like me too, And like there's a lot of big moments that happen in that book, but that's the one that always I remember. So
It is because it's like you think about who's going to read that book, and there's a lot of shame ascribed to a lot of these things, like to wearing a headscarf, to having a period. There's so much shame that has been ascribed to these things that are so natural, and that's part of why that level of representation is important across the board in so many different ways, because people are being made fun of for things they can't control. So why not just normalize it through something that just gets ingrained in you because you've seen it, you've read it, you like are like, oh, like this happens to this person. Oh, if I see this in real life, like I now have this different understanding of it. I have look at it through a different eye.
Yeah, and it also it shows such care being put into, such thoughtfulness being put into the representation, because it's not just, like, oh, we'll just take this character and then, we'll make them something which is, fine on its own, but then being the character, be like, how can we represent the people who will look like this character and make them feel like they're really connecting with this character? And I think it's something very special.
Well, I think the thing is that a lot of people are afraid of diversity and inclusion because they think about it in the sense of exclusion instead of like, no, like it shouldn't be a thought. Like, what does your friend group look like? We end up, even our friend groups look like the friend groups that we see on TV because we don't go outside and say, hey, like I could learn so much about different cultures and different people and their experience, and all that's going to do is make me a richer person. It's going to make me a more considerate person, a more thoughtful person. And I think that we don't get the chance to give each other grace because we don't have that closeness of getting to know each other. We just are coming in this like treating each other as science experiments or questions to be asked instead of just getting to know a person and their experience. And that's why we need story to normalize our existence. And to like the fact that people are scared of that, it makes me sad because all that introducing yourself to different cultures and travel and stories does is just make you a more well-rounded and understanding person. And we need that. Like we need that level of just decency and grace to each other.
Absolutely. And I think I love what the High Republic is doing to normalize these th this diversity and make people feel seen. And more High Republic. So the High Republic is in a way being brought to live action this year in the Acolyte. It's not exactly the era we're reading about right now, but we'll see, at least one familiar character. We saw some gold robes in the trailer at celebrations. That is, in a way, very much High Republic. So what are kind of your hopes and dreams for this show?
My number one hope is that people give it a chance and don't dismiss it because it is directed by a woman. That woman has been writing Star Wars fan fiction since she was a child and has a basis in the EU, which I know is a prerequisite for a lot of people. But she has all those things and she has a backbone made of steel. And I don't think that she is going to take this thing that is basically a pinnacle for her and drop the ball. I can say that it's going to be fantastic. I love, you have to think about the way that she's framed it, which is like if the Jedi are at their height at this time, they're not the underdog. So getting a chance to cheer more for a more layered kind of character who is, I'm trying not to talk too much. It's going to be great. I'm really excited about it. I think Amanda Stenberg is just a phenomenal actress, and they are a phenomenal person, and it's going to be really exciting to see what they do with it. And it's the cast is stacked.
Oh,
Like, it is
yeah.
stacked. Daphne and Charlie, and I mean, oh, I got to, oh, if you go to the interviews from Celebration, there is an interview with the cast of The Acolyte, and you can see that they are very excited about what they get to do, especially Charlie, who is like now deeply into the High Republic and read a lot of the books, even though they were not supposed to get too deep into it. But they have a deep respect for the High Republic, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I also was I remember the trailer at Celebration. I immediately when Amanda Stenberg was on screen, I was like, oh my God, her hair looks awesome. She's like a really awesome haircut that I
Yeah.
was like obsessed with immediately.
It's really good. And also the fact that she came out at Celebration dressed as Padme.
Yeah.
She was so excited about that. And it looked like that picture lives rent-free in my head because you could tell she just was so excited. And I think that the thing that people don't realize about Amanda Stenberg is Amanda Stenberg has their own comic series called Niobe with Stranger Comics and has been doing comic books for almost 10 years now. And I think that's just wild.
I didn't actually know that. That's very cool. Yeah,
Oh yeah,
I'm.
I love fam. I love fun facts that show you how deeply nerdy someone is.
Yeah, I'm super excited for the Acolyte. And just seeing getting some awesome lightsabers and so much. I think it's gonna be really cool.
Oh, I know.
But right now it's later this year, but right now we're entering phase three of the High Republic. A few things have been released. I can't personally say I'm caught up on them. But we're just getting to get more and more. So what are you most excited for going into phase three?
I think I'm just excited to see what's next. I loose lips sink starships.
Yes. Don't get yourself in trouble.
No, it's there's something that's coming that I'm very, very excited about that I've known about since May.
Wow.
And it lives rent free in my head. And I'll tell you when it happens, but it's really cool. And I'm very excited about it. And it's a moment, a showdown that you don't expect, but that's going to be great.
Oh, I'm like scared now.
Yeah,
Interesting. Well, that's exciting. Something mysterious to look forward to. I like that a lot.
I'm evasive.
Yes. That seems like an important skill when you're at all involved with Star Wars to be.
With something that has NDAs, yes, I can talk in circles. I'm like Rumpelstiltskin over here. All her magic comes at cost. It's like,
Well, that's all the questions I have for you. Thank you so much. This was so much fun. I'm so glad I got to have you on the podcast, and hopefully we'll get to see each other at Celebration or something in person.
I welcome it.
So where can people find you if they're looking to follow you? Not in real
You
life,
can
though.
find me on Instagram and Threads at Christina Ariel, KrystinaArielle. You can find me on TikTok as Christina Ariel Tigner because somebody took my name, which is weird because it's not exactly an everyday name. But anywho, it's Crazy Darielle Tingner on TikTok. Go follow there. I'm terrible at posting there, but I do sometimes, and it's moderately interesting. And yeah, just follow me there, and I'd have some stuff coming up, so just keep your eye out.
Yay. For Star Wars Geek Girl, there's StarWarsGeekGirl.com, which is a website where I do writing. There's polls, quizzes, all sorts of fun stuff there. And also book reviews. As I'm reading The High Republic, there will be book reviews about those. And then on Twitter and Instagram, it's at SWGeekGirl, and the Facebook page is just Star Wars Geek Girl. If you're looking for me personally, I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Spectre underscore five, five written out, not the number. And on Twitter is at Azoika. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Thank you again, Christina, for coming. This was so much fun. And may the force be with you, and goodbye.
Star Wars geek girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.